Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live on the air to address your question or discuss your real-life issue by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to listen and call to take part. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When we think about the basic gospel, there's probably one verse that really comes to mind probably more than any other, and that's John 3:16. It's a verse most Christians know, probably the first verse most Christians memorized. And it's a powerful, powerful statement of the love of God and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So God so loved that he gave. Now, why is that important as in terms of our topic of grace and money? Well, it's simply this, that if God is a giver and he has come to live inside of us, then he is going to start molding us and shaping our character. And soon we're going to have this desire to give. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as Paul was commending the Macedonians for their generosity. And they said to Paul, hey, we're eager. We want to jump in. We want help. We want to do this. Can we? Let us do what we can. Well, where did that come from? Well, the fact that they were growing in their knowledge of God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That's what this relationship with God is all about. We get to know him. And when we get to know him, we realize that he's a giver, and that characteristic starts to form in us. And we will want to give of our resources to help further this gospel, advance the kingdom of God, meet the needs of people around us. So are you growing in your relationship with God? Are you growing in your understanding of his love and grace? Are you recognizing that love and grace gives? If so, I guarantee you something is stirring in your heart where you want to give of your resources to further the kingdom. And I think if that's the case, you can step back and say, Lord, thank you. That's your work in my life. That's a positive confirmation that God is alive and living in you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us for this Friday edition. The lines are wide open right now at 1-800-677-9377, and we want to hear from you. We want you to come in and be a part of the discussion right now. Grace and money, it's a good opportunity to discuss what's going on in your life in that category. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are open, so call now. Guys, a question that's posed to us from Barbara, who lives in South Wales and listens online. She says, a lady recently rang in to say that she had been possessed and God had released her from that. Does that really happen? Can we become possessed if we do not know God with the Holy Spirit indwelling us? Also, can people see the spirits of those who have passed away? And she says, I'm thinking of mediums. Is that possible? And what does the Bible have to say about all this? That's from Barbara in South Wales.
Well, Barbara, thanks for writing to us. We certainly appreciate hearing from you across the pond, so to speak. That's the wonder of the Internet, that we can be here in Dallas, Texas, and talking on microphones, and people all over the world can tune in and listen. And we are so grateful that Barbara is doing that.
Yeah.
But she asks a very interesting, intriguing question. I think we have a fascination with the angelic world, the demonic world. That's a real world. I mean, it's not a made up thing at all. Angels are real. Demons are real. We can count on that. The Bible certainly tells us that's the story. Well, demons, they can possess people. We certainly see that as we read through the gospel accounts. Jesus cast out many demons. His disciples, when Jesus sent them out, they cast out demons as well. So we know they're real, and certainly that can happen today. Here in the United States, I've never run across it in my 30 years of ministry. Richard, have you ever seen anything?
Not directly, but I know some people back in Colorado days that had been involved in, not actually possessed themselves, but they knew people and had been involved in bringing them
to
Jesus.
Right.
And it happens.
Right. But one of the ways that demons influence us is through error. I mean, that's their number one tool.
Uh-huh.
When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan showed up in the form of a serpent, he deceived them. He made the tree of the knowledge of good and evil very enticing, and he made it look a lot different than it did before that very moment. And that's what he does, and that's what demons do. They try to deceive us and get us to bite off on their deception. And when we do, we move away from truth. That's what happened in the garden. And so they're constantly trying to deceive us. That's why temptations of the world look so good. They're empty. They're hollow. They never deliver on their promises. But you don't know that until you take a bite, and until you take a step toward those temptations. So we have to realize that this war that we're in, this spiritual war that we're in, is really a battle between truth and error, the lies of Satan and the truth of God. And if we will recognize that the only tool Satan really has is deception, that can prepare us and equip us and to give us that greater resolve to stand firmly on the truth of God's Word.
Absolutely. Well, Barbara, again, thanks for writing to us. Hope you'll keep listening and write to us again if we can be a further help. And for all of those of you who can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live each day, why, we encourage you to send us an email if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss. Simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find the email link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Right now, open lines, and that's why we're here live, everybody, so that you can address your get your question and answered, and your particular issue addressed by Bob and Richard on this broadcast we call Basic Gospel. So a good opportunity right now. The lines are wide open. 1-800-677-9377. We address your call. 1-800-677-9377. Another question from Kelly, who writes to us from Tampa. How do you draw somebody out of the old covenant mindset when both parties are reading from the same biblical source and see the same truths, especially when neither party sees themselves as wrong with their system of belief or the ritualism that they've been steeped in for a lifetime? This happens even when exposing the errors of with evident truth. She says, I understand the Spirit reveals truth and removes the veiling, but wouldn't the Lord want new covenant truths working in a believer's life sooner rather than later? As always, she says, I appreciate your insight very much.
Well, that's a wonderful question.
Yeah.
And let's kind of back up a little bit, Richard, as far as this discussion between Old Covenant and New Covenant. The Old Covenant was that covenant that God made with the people of Israel. Moses was the mediator. It was between God and the people of Israel. It was ratified at Mount Sinai. That was the place. And that covenant is the covenant that governed the people of Israel from that point until the time of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When Jesus Christ died, He completed that old covenant,
yes,
and he ushered in a new covenant. And as believers in Christ, we live in the new covenant. We live on this side of the cross. Now, spiritually, that old covenant had a purpose in everyone's lives. It was specifically made with the people of Israel, but it had a spiritual purpose that transcends the people of Israel. It is for all people. And that purpose was to identify our condition apart from Christ. We need a Savior, but most of us live our lives as if we don't need a Savior. That's never an awareness that we have. We just go through life just bip-bopping along. Everything's great, and we're all happy, and we don't realize that we're under bondage to sin and death, and we need to be rescued. We need to be set free. Well, that's what that law helps us to see. When we go under that law, like somebody, a patient might go under an X-ray machine or an MRI or something like that, they're going to find out what's really going on the inside, what their real condition is. So the law was there to show us our condition apart from Christ, to teach us that we're lost, that we're dead spiritually. But that's as far as the law can go spiritually. If we're going to receive life, that life comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's the life giver. And as Paul wrote, the old kills, but the new gives life. And so we need to recognize that. And the only thing that I know to do is to read people what the Word of God has to say, specifically 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul really draws a contrast between the old and the new. The old is a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment, a ministry of death. The new is a ministry of righteousness, a ministry of freedom, a ministry of life. Now, those work hand in glove. We needed the old to bring us to that point where we say, Lord, how can I be saved? And then Jesus steps in and saves us.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. So all I know to do is to read a person the scriptures and to ask some questions about what those scriptures say. That's why we've prepared this wonderful resource called The New Covenant Journey. It's a Bible study guide that will take a person into the Word of God and show them what this new covenant is all about. So I would suggest to Kelly that she get a copy of this and pass it on to her friend.
Sure.
I think that's going to be the best way that she can reveal these truths or to pass on these truths to someone else.
Yes, indeed. Well, the New Covenant Journey, of course, is available from our store. You can find it at store.basicgospel.net in the study guide section. We encourage you to go there and take a look at the resources that have been put there to aid you toward a better understanding of the Christian life, growth and maturity, as we say. And I sometimes wish, guys, that we had a video so our listeners could see Bob Christopher bip-bopping along as he was giving that answer. So that would be all right. That would be a plus. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Waldorf, Maryland, and talk with Jay, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Jay.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. I actually had two questions. I couldn't get the other one out. But both of my daughters just came to me and just asked me two questions out of the blue, and I was just like, I'll get back to you on that.
Well, ask away.
So, okay, the first question is, came to me and said, if Adam and Eve only had Cain and Abel, where did they get their wives from? And I said, I'll get back to you on that.
That was a good answer.
Yeah, Jay, that's one of those interesting questions, one of those that we really ponder. But I think there's a real easy answer. We think in terms of our modern-day families and our modern-day timelines and, you know, the average lifespan of a person here in America is, 75 years of age, something around that. So we think probably Adam and Eve lived that length of time, but that's not the case. Adam and Eve lived, Adam lived to be 930 years of age. Cain and Abel, they were certainly children of Adam and Eve, but they weren't the only children of Adam and Eve. There were probably other children of Adam and Eve, and they populated. I mean, God gave them the command to be fruitful and multiply. Well, they carried out that command. They were fruitful. They multiplied. Now, we don't know what the population was back then, but it was more than just Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. There were many, many other people that came from Adam and Eve that were there. So when you look at it from that sense, then it just kind of falls into place and like, oh, okay, there were other people there that all came from Adam and Eve. I mean, it doesn't say how many children that they had, but being 930 years of age,
yeah,
I can guarantee you it was a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Also, the other question was, my wife has gay friends. And when I teach my kids that, homosexuality is wrong, And they're like, well, why do you invite them to the cookout and everything? And why are you so cool with them? And I'm like, well, I'm not called to be mean to them or not love them. You know, I'll tell them straight up, you know, I don't agree with your lifestyle, not at all. You know, don't do any kissing or anything around my children or anything like that. You know, nothing like that in my home. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
But my daughter says, well, Daddy, if you say the Bible say this, then why do you still allow them? And I'm like, well, you still show love. We're called to love, you know, and I'm not called to judge in the sense of judging them and condemning them, but I am telling them that your actions as far as what the Bible says is wrong. So am I wrong for doing that?
For inviting them over and to barbecues and that sort of thing? I would say no, Jay. I mean, God has called us to be ministers of reconciliation, to be ministers of this new covenant, regardless of what a person's sins are. Those external things that they do or those lifestyles that they engage in, they're lost and they're dead spiritually and they need life. Well, how are you going to get the message to them if you don't hang out with them, if you don't develop relationships with them and grow that relationship to a place where you can open up and freely share what you know about the Lord? So I think there's any time that we can have the opportunity to rub shoulders with folks who are lost and to give them a fresh look at what the love of God is all about, I say take that opportunity. And I think that's what you're doing there.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because my daughter's like, you know, she has a lot of questions. And I got two other ones under her, and I know they're coming.
Yeah. So. Well, It is awesome that she's asking questions.
Yes.
I mean, a curious mind is a great mind. And I think she's making some observations. She's trying to put pieces together. And I think you have a great opportunity to make this a wonderful teaching moment in her life, to realize that God loves people. And it doesn't matter what their sin is. All of us were lost and dead spiritually. We all needed the grace of God. We all need life. So in some degree, Jay, those they're no different than you are. I mean, you were lost. You were dead spiritually. And at a point in time, you responded to the grace of God, and you went from death to life. You were made alive in Jesus Christ. Well, now you want the same for other people. And that's why you reach out to share this good news.
Okay, so, Ken, there's no such thing as a gay Christian, right?
No, I don't think so. God never uses that. You're either a child of God or you're a lost sinner. Those are the only two identities that God is concerned with.
Right.
So somebody to say I'm a gay Christian or I'm a straight Christian or... you're just adding an adjective there that doesn't need to be there. If you've come to Christ, you've said with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Well, what does that mean? That you are submitting yourself to him as Lord of your life. That's what being a Christian is submitting yourself to the Lordship of our Savior. It's all by grace. And if he works in us to move out of an old lifestyle, because he's Lord, we move out of that old lifestyle. The flesh doesn't want to move out of that lifestyle. The flesh keeps holding on and saying, no, no, no. Remember how much fun we had over there. And that's really who you are. And it cries out those old identities. But that's not your identity if you're a Christian. You're a child of God. That's who you are, a saint by calling, holy, set apart for God's use.
Yeah, because sometimes sitting down and it just happens to come up. And I see how it comes up with me. It's like you're called to witness, then all of a sudden, you know, my wife's friends come over, which are my friends too. Then the conversation will come on because something's on TV.
Yes.
And their lifestyle is there. And then it just pops up. and then inside of me, they'll say stuff that like, nah, I don't agree with that, man.
Yeah. Well, let me just.
I don't agree with it. It's just the fact that I don't agree because the Bible don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not pointing my finger like you guys are going to hell or anything like that. I'm just saying, nah, that ain't right.
Yeah. Well, the deal is Jay, I mean, sin is sin. And when we get into a point of calling sin something else, that's when we're in trouble. But we don't have to worry about that, agreeing with God concerning sin, because there's some great news. That's what the gospel is all about. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, and I would point you to this passage, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 through 21. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So, Jay, God has given you a ministry of reconciliation. And here's what it is, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. So you can say to anybody, God is not counting those sins against you, but he is wanting to offer you life and to rescue you from that old way of life so that you can experience real life in Jesus Christ. Well, Jay, let me put you on hold. We'll give you some more information about the ministry. Great questions today. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you,
Jay.
Are so welcome. Well, let's go to David in New Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm good. I've got a tough question that I'm kind of struggling with a little bit. I've come across, I'm much more familiar with the New Testament than the Old Testament. That's kind of my church upbringing has always focused much more on the New Testament. But I've come across a couple passages recently in the Old Testament as I've been reading through, and they've been really troubling to me. One of them is in the book of Samuel, where basically there's a complete destruction of men, women, and children by God, and I don't understand how to reconcile like the God of the New Testament that I'm much more familiar and sort of comfortable with.
Well, David, here's how I've reconciled that in my mind. The story of the Old Testament is really a story about Jesus. We see little hints and clues and promises about this Messiah that was going to come to save the world. And God handpicked a group of people through whom the Messiah would come. It started with Abraham. It went to Isaac. It went to Jacob. It went through Judah. And then there was this whole bloodline. Well, Satan was doing everything in his power to stop the birth of Jesus from happening. He did not want the Messiah to come on the scene. Why? Because he knew that through Messiah, the world would be blessed, that God's purposes would be restored back to man. And so Satan was doing everything in his power, and he was actually infusing his ways into peoples that stood against God. And so to protect the bloodline, to protect the seed, God jumped into action so that Jesus could come into the world and be a blessing to both Jew and Gentile. So that's how I've reconciled it, David, and I think that gives some consistency from start to finish as far as the Word of God is concerned. Fantastic question today. Go ahead.
No, great. That makes a little bit more sense. I feel a little bit more comfortable with that.
Okay.
Sometimes they just feel like they're entirely different, you know?
Yeah, so. It feels that way, but it's God's testimony about Jesus from start to finish. I think if we hold on to that, let that be the premise for Bible study, things will start falling into place a little bit better for us. Let me put you on hold, and we'll give you some more information about the ministry. Thanks so much for calling.
And thanks to everybody for tuning in to Basic Gospel. As we've mentioned, we have an exciting matching gift challenge between now and the 31st. You can double the outreach of your ministry by joining with us here at Basic Gospel. Every contribution matched dollar for dollar up to $25,000. You can call 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator, or go online and click that matching gift challenge link at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody.